Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dan Wetzel is a guy who's been with us before, and why do we like to have him back? Because this man knows what he's talking about when it comes to everything in sports. He covers a lot of college sports for Yahoo, and he writes on a variety of topics with a great story out that came out yesterday about Major League Baseball. And Dan from Yahoo joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dan Wetzel, good to have you with us. How are you, Dan?
Good. Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it very much. Your story yesterday on Major League Baseball, certainly I thought was right on the money on a number of fronts. And you started it off by saying Major League Baseball is a private industry. I think people kind of forget that. And they're going to have to figure something out, but are you as stunned as we are that the sport that seems to have the most trouble going right now and trying to figure out how to do this is the sport where social distancing isn't really that big of an issue?
Yeah, you know, it is unless you know baseball, right? Look, intellectually, we all know that if you don't want to open your business, you don't have to. If you don't want to go to work, you don't think you're paid enough or you don't like it, you don't have to, right? These are all freedoms. No problem. This is not a hospital. It's not the police. This is not whatever, school. So it's not an essential business. Intellectually, we get all that. But, like, get over yourself and figure this out. Like, we have a pandemic and we have protests and we have racial injustice. We have so much going on. Now more than ever, no one wants to listen to billionaire owners and millionaire players argue. And so you got the right to skip the season. But the fans have a right to say, I've had enough of you guys. How can all the other sports in the world figure this out? And you can't. How can all the soccer leagues in Europe? How can NASCAR? How can, you know, NHL's got a deal pretty much. The NBA players are complaining. Their complaint is our games might not be meaningful enough. Like, that's the complaint, not, well, you're going to prorate my salary and it's going to be this or that. If you don't want to play, that's fine. I get it. But read the room and understand that there's going to be a ton of entertainment options out there. And I just don't think there's a real appetite for fans in this country, and sports fans, the American public, to watch baseball squander away a season arguing dollars and cents at this moment.
Dan, you know, we've been down this road before with strikes and lockouts. This to me has the potential to be a huge, huge, huge body blow. Because, and I've said this before, in '94 we didn't feel it here in Cleveland because we had a good team, we had a new ballpark, and we had excitement about baseball for the first time in, you know, my lifetime as a guy who's in his early 50s right now. How much of a punch in the stomach will it be to baseball as far as the comp saying, well, I got my choice? And especially now, where you may have your choice between watching, you know, now you're saying, okay, I'm going to watch the NBA during the middle of the summer. I'm going to watch the NFL during the summer. If baseball's not there, I mean, how devastating could this be for the game?
I think more than ever, it's like it will be easy to not miss baseball. I think all of a sudden we're conditioned to not have something to tune into every night. The beauty of baseball is an everyday sport, and it's like a, you know, especially when you got a good team. It's like, you know, the broadcasts are in the backyard, in the background, or the radio in the car. When you go to everywhere you go, it's like a soundtrack of the summer, and you play every day, and this is great. we've been conditioned all of a sudden to not even expect to tune into the TV at night and go, oh, what's on, right? Something's got to be on, whether it's a baseball game involving the Indians or it's, you know, just some Western Conference NBA playoff game or a Stanley Cup playoff or whatever. So we're conditioned on that. Then we're prepared all of a sudden for this going to be an avalanche in July and August. I mean, you have potentially, it seems like we will have the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, golf majors, you know, the Kentucky Derby in early September. You know, NASCAR has been going twice a week lately. Like, all sorts of different things are all of a sudden on, and you're not sitting there in the middle of August going, what's on? I'll watch a baseball game. It'll be very easy to just be like, yeah, we're good with this. And you don't know whether, you know, would the NBA or the NHL ever move their season back and start competing more in the summer or different things happen. So I don't think baseball will be missed that much, and that's probably worse than anything. And then once we get to late August, here comes football.
Right.
Obviously, all of this is contingent on good things happening with the pandemic, but that's the only way we can hope. If that's not the case, then baseball is never going to start anyway. But to sit there and go, why aren't you starting? It's not this is unhealthy or this is unsafe. If you can play hockey indoors with 25 guys, 22 guys, next to each other on a bench, checking all the different things that happen, and you can't play baseball because it's about money, it's just a tough narrative to throw out to fans and say, hey, understand, this is really tricky. Nah, it's not really that tricky. You know, how come every other sports league in the world figured this out except Major League Baseball? I mean, there's not even a big fight with the other leagues. You know, it's not like every league had to go to the mat to get this figured out. It's only baseball that seems to be arguing about it.
And, Dan, when you turn on ESPN and you see Korean baseball, I mean, hey, we're playing baseball professionally here in the world already. It just completely puts the spotlight on the economics. And I wouldn't say if they screw it up that the damage would be irreparable, but it would be pretty severe, I would think, moving forward just for the psyche of the American sports fan when it comes to Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
yes?
It just seems unnecessary, like I said. And I get it. We all get it, right? If you don't want to go to work tomorrow, I mean, there'll be – tons of teachers that don't come back to work because they think it's unsafe. And you know what? If they paid me $1 million to teach that third grade class, yeah, I'd do it. But they're not, so it's not worth it. I get all of that. We all get all that, but it's just sort of like, you know, come on, man. How come the Korean baseball can do it? Why don't they just bring up minor leaguers? Why don't they do something? It's just it was a bad enough look last week. It's worse this week. And it just seems like this is not the time to be arguing. If you want to make that choice to not pay them enough or not accept enough or whatever compromise that the other leagues in the world are able to do, you want to make that choice, just understand there's probably going to be a significant backlash from your customers going forward that will affect how much you make in the future.
Hey, Dan, I want to switch gears a little bit here and jump into the NCAA. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the fact that you've got Power 5 commissioners asking Congress to set the laws on name, image, and likeness and not waiting for the NCAA. And what does that mean for the future? Because to me, that's like, maybe we don't need the NCAA.
Well, you know, I think that's more about they can't deal with having rules in 50 different states. So,
okay,
obviously, and that's as much as anything. I mean, I don't know. The law in Michigan is one thing, and the law in Ohio is another. And it's kids could somehow make more money in Michigan, and then all of a sudden your recruits are going to, like, how do you figure this out? So they need sort of a national system. But it's certainly clear that this is coming from commissioners, not Mark Emmert, right? Or it doesn't seem to be coming from the NCAA itself. So. There's certainly something to what you're saying. It's like, you know, is this organization even capable of handling it? And, you know, I've said all along, this is going to be super messy. This is going to be, you know, there's going to be all sorts of unintended consequences. And the reason that we're here is because college athletics, not just the NCAA central office, but all these athletic directors, all these commissioners, did nothing for decades on this issue until the fact that you have politicians making the laws on you. And I don't care what business you own, you don't want the government telling you how to run your business. Even if it's well-intentioned or even if it's a good idea, you don't want that. You want to be able to run your own business. So it was the decades of doing no action that spurred it to be so out of control that you literally have bipartisan support to do something for the college athletes. The college has lost the argument here, and the politicians will just follow public will. And so now you got every state in the country coming up with ways to give kids a share of their rights. What this could have been handled much more, smoothly if college athletics had reacted, years and years ago instead of fighting every little bit of progress.
Dan Wetzel joining us from Yahoo Sports. Dan, with the situation, the virus just economically shredding the NCAA right now. It's clearly a system that everybody knew was out of whack for years, with football and basketball generating all the revenue and paying for the non-revenue sports and blah blah. It just goes on and on and on. Is this the straw that, and it's a big straw, that forces change in the system only because it's just not going to work economically? Or are they going to figure out how to keep this thing going despite what's happened here and might continue into the fall?
It's going to be interesting, and a big part of that is going to be what the football season looks like. These schools need fans in the stands. They need the ticket revenue. They need the parking. They need the alumni donations to get the tickets. They need the T-shirt sales. They need the whole thing. And, let's say it's 25%. Let's say it's 50%. Well, you just cut your revenue 50%. So, anyone who's been to an Ohio State football game, you just show up and you're like, my Lord, there's just money flowing into the sky. I mean, this is unbelievable. You cut that down and it's going to hurt. Now, Ohio State, can they survive it? Probably. Although you talk to those big AD, they got a lot of expenses,
Yeah.
You're going to see sports cut. Are we going to change the way we do things? But ideally, college athletics takes a step back all along, says, you know what? This locker room is only 5 years old. We don't need to redo it because Alabama redid theirs, and we need to put, a waterfall in. Or I think like Clemson's got a mini golf course outside their thing, and we don't need to have a weight training coach paid $1 million and all of the outlandish expenses. But knowing the competitive instincts of college football, that's probably going to keep going. So very interesting, because these schools have spent the money, every dollar they ever got came in, and then some. They all have debt service and everything because they never foresaw, somewhat understandably, that this could happen and revenue would really fall. I mean, if you're Ohio State football, you got to figure, boy, this is a pretty good business, man. And we roll out the ball, these people show up. And so how are we ever going to really lose money here? And, well, nobody saw this coming, so I sympathize with them that. But do they legitimately cut expenses? Or is the competitive nature of this so great that in the end they're going to have to cut other sports that people don't care about? And I think that's really going to be the challenge for all of these schools.
Let's throw the other thing in there, too, when it comes to cutting sports. I mean, Title IX is going to shape and try to – like, I'm wondering, Dan, what do you think the future of college sports looks like? Even now, I mean, look, regardless of whether they play football or not, in the fall we have universities that are – like I just read this morning – Bowling Green's trying to figure out some way to save their baseball program with volunteer money, kind of the same way that the University of Akron did here too. But we're seeing universities starting to say, maybe we don't need that sport. Maybe we don't need this sport. Maybe that sport can be a club sport. How do we do this and juggle Title IX at the same time?
Well, it's obviously the men's smaller sports that are going to get hit because football's not going anywhere. So, and that takes up X number of 85 scholarships. So you have to account for that. So it will be the men's sports that get cut quicker. I think you're looking at higher education, though. When you talk to people on these campuses, all of higher education is in a struggle right now, because there's a lot of parents right now, or a lot of families sitting there saying, do I write that tuition check right now and send my kid off to school next fall if it's going to end up being online learning? Is that money worth it, or do I take a gap year and I just say, hey, look, I'm going to take some online classes at the community college? Almost assuredly, enrollment will be down across the board in the country. Now, whether that's 5%, 10%, 20%, we don't know. But it will be down. Less people will go to college this year than went last year. And that may trickle down. The top schools are still going to be filled, but it trickles down. So all these schools are going to be sitting there saying, hey, I might not need that dorm, or I may not have this many kids in the class. They're all dealing with an expense. And so now you're looking and saying, well, what works? I think Akron, and I may be wrong, so I don't want to disparage Akron, but I thought they cut like even some colleges out and tried to streamline their thing. And maybe that's how higher education goes all over, where, you know, you're streamlining different things. And then if you're really taking a hard look at expenses, you sit there and say, well, do we really need a men's tennis team? Like, what does that provide for our university? When there's hard choices, I think it's hard. It's also hard to justify some of these sports as an integral part of a university when you're comparing it to, say, you know, should we have a tennis team or should we have one more chemistry professor? This is a school. I mean, it never made sense that there's college sports. Makes no sense. It's great fun, but it makes no sense. There should be two different things. But, you know, so I think there's just going to be all sorts of challenges. But the biggest thing is going to be, what's this football season look like? If all of a sudden it's 75% capacity and everyone can kind of just buckle up for a year and make it, that's great. If it isn't and it starts getting empty stadiums or the winter session is canceled, we don't have basketball, now you're going to see real hardship on these schools because the athletic departments have nowhere to turn for money because the school's going to be hurting too.
Dan, could you see, you know, there's always been talk of a super conference. Could you see something like that where, you know, we've heard some schools say, hey, great, we're going to play. If our other conference schools can't be with us, then you're not playing this year. Could you see a change in structure with big schools getting together and maybe eliminating the NCAA from all this? Or is it just so way up in the air that who knows what's going to happen?
I don't know, because I don't know that increases revenue. The football schools, you take Ohio State, right? Ohio State is taking almost all the football money anyway. They have to share basketball NCAA tournament revenue, but part of the appeal of the NCAA basketball tournament is the smaller schools, the underdog, and also schools that don't play football. You know, you need Gonzaga and Villanova you know, the New York market and Georgetown. You need the whole country in on it. And so you can't just have a football school basketball tournament and expect that America is going to feel the same way and pay, and CBS is going to pay the same amount of money going forward to broadcast it. Also, Ohio State, you know, Cleveland Browns play an equal, until they span the season, they play an equal number of home and away games. Ohio State does not. Ohio State's playing 8 home games usually a year and 4 on the road. So they make a lot of money by being able to bring in Akron or Miami, Ohio, or whoever they bring in to play. And for the most part, those are smaller schools. At least, you know, probably 75-80% of their home dates non-conference are small schools. So to kick those guys out for a share of basketball revenue, do they lose the ability? So if you go to a 65-64 team super conference, you're actually going to lose home dates. And that's where the money is. So I'm skeptical of that as making any sense. So I really don't think these small schools take that much money off the big schools. The problem isn't money coming into Ohio State. It's the expense that they've done. Their spending is so out of whack. They're paying these guys so much money. I remember saying this once. You go to the New England Patriots, right? They have a bubble out behind Gillette Stadium, like an old school bubble. You go to Michigan State, it's a palace. Michigan State's got better facilities than the New England Patriots. Much better. Millions and millions more. It's not unnecessary expense. Clearly, you can train a football team with what the New England Patriots have. So it's the expenses that they've done that have put them over the barrel. They're still making the vast, vast majority of the money. So I don't know that cutting these smaller schools, cutting the MAC out or something, are they really hurting the Big Ten? I don't think they are. I think they're actually helping the Big Ten by providing easy non-conference opponents.
He's Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dan Wetzel. It's D-A-N-W-E-T-Z-E-L. Dan, thank you. Always great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.